You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. April usually marks the time of year when farmers begin bringing in water from rivers and streams to irrigate their crops. But this year, low snowpack, ongoing drought, and conservation rules mean some farmers may have to get their water elsewhere. It could also mean fallow fields in some parts of the state. OPB's agricultural reporter Alejandro Figueroa has been following this issue, and he joins the exchange. Thanks for joining us, Alejandro.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me again.
Well, much of Oregon is already seeing ongoing drought, and the state had another low snowpack year. So can you tell us how bad it was?
Yeah. I mean, Oregon had this sort of unusually warm, sunny, and dry winter that didn't really bring a lot of snow up in the mountains the last few months, so December, January, and February were the warmest, or they tied to be the warmest on record, dating back to the late 1800s. And so that means that the snowpack conditions across the state are like near historical low levels for this time of year. Snowpack levels statewide, and by the way, like that's measured by how much water is trapped in the snow, are at 29% of normal, so that ranks it at the lowest on record for this time of year, with 2015 being the lowest ever. There was like a National Weather Service winter storm watch for the mountain passes in Marion, Linn, and Clackamas County. And I mean, they forecasted that there would be a storm and that would drop 10 to 18 inches of snow up there. But even with that, it's not really going to alleviate the deficits we've got. And so far, the governor also just yesterday declared a drought emergency for at least three counties. That's Deschutes, Umatilla, and Baker. So, that's kind of where we're standing right now.
Well, I know there's also federal conservation rules that require a certain amount of water be left for endangered species habitat. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of depends on, and it varies by specific regions. In Central Oregon, for instance, the one of the irrigation districts there, they have to set aside a certain amount of water for the Oregon spotted frog. So that kind of means that, if you have a reservoir that has a certain amount of water, you can't really use all that water. So irrigation districts and water managers are thinking about that right now. Down in the Klamath Basin, you know, you have a certain amount of water that needs to be set aside for fish species that are critical to the Klamath tribes, right? So that also kind of factors in into that.
Well, it sounds like we're sharing this water with natural ecosystems. And if we don't do that, then we're going to be subject to the loss of those ecosystems, which ultimately bites us anyway. So what does all this mean for agriculture in Oregon the rest of this year?
I mean, the simple answer right now is that there's just going to be less water to go around. I mean, it means for farmers deciding whether they're going to plant a certain amount of acres, or they're thinking about whether or not they'll be able to get a second or third cutting if they're planting hay, for instance, and to think about how that kind of factors into their finances. For irrigation districts and water managers across the state, it also means that, I mean, they're going to have to make some really tough decisions. Some districts already had to set cutbacks on the amount of water that they allocate to farmers and ranchers and, you know, homesteaders, resorts in Eastern Oregon and Central Oregon. Or they're going to have to rely pretty heavily on reservoirs. And some districts they're just going to run out of water before the summer season is over.
Okay, it sounds like the water wars in California and some other states. Tell us more about how water rights work in Oregon. Considering that there's less water available, who gets to use it?
Right. So Oregon and, kind of similar to a lot of the Western United States, Oregon water law is based on what's called prior appropriation. So that means irrigators with the oldest water rights take priority over junior water right holders. It's kind of like a first come, first serve basis, but for water. And water rights, by the way, they're kind of like state permits that authorize people to use a certain amount of water. So if you're a senior water right holder, that means that you're basically, you're kind of like the last person to be shut off when stream flows and rivers or creeks are low. So, and you know, if you're a junior irrigation district, that's kind of a problem because you might be left without water during times like this when you've got ongoing droughts and, you know, you've only got so many claims to streams or, in this case, reservoirs. So, you know, I said earlier that some of those irrigation districts are going to run out of water. They might have to use a, you know, their water rights or their water storage that they got in a reservoir. But again, they only have so much, you know, water in the bank, so to speak. So that might not last.
You mentioned irrigation districts. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, irrigation districts are kind of like utilities, like a water utility, but for farmers. So if you're a farmer and you rely on water, you kind of call up your irrigation district and you say, hey, I need this amount of water at this specific date. Each farmer, at least how it works in Central Oregon, I'm most familiar with that region, kind of gets a specific amount of water allotted for the season. So between April, when the season starts, and then October, they have a certain amount of water that they can work with. They plan around how they are going to spread that out through the season, and then they work with their district to kind of divert that water and get it to their fields.
Okay, so it sounds like the these irrigation districts are managers of the spigot. They can turn it on or off.
Right.
Now, when you spoke with farmers about this, what did they say?
People are going to tell you different things. Depending on where they're at, I think, and, you know, what they grow, where they're at financially. I think for, you know, a lot of farmers, or I should say many farmers, it doesn't really change much, at least not right now with how current conditions are at, mostly because they've kind of been dealing with this for a couple of years now, right? So Oregon has been, and, you know, has continued to have these ongoing droughts. And, I mean, I spoke to a farmer in Central Oregon, and he grows carrot seed and Kentucky bluegrass. He just rotates between those two crops. And, you know, his plan will be just to do kind of more of the same that he's done for the last 8 years. And that means try to reuse as much water as you can, reduce the amount of acres that you plant. And then if you have to, if it gets really bad, you'll probably have to buy extra water or just more water from a neighbor, which is not cheap. And then, a water manager, and when I was talking to some folks in Eastern Oregon, kind of put it in the sense of like, you just kind of got to sit down and kind of watch this happen to you. And I think that's a pretty common sentiment right now across the state.
Okay, so this lack of water really affects the economics of farming. My guest is Alejandro Figueroa, an agriculture reporter for OPB. So generally speaking, what does this situation look like in Southern Oregon compared with Central and Eastern Oregon?
Yeah, I mean, this morning I just saw a report, for instance, in the Crater Lake, you have the lowest snowpack on record ever up in there. Just because, you know, how little snow that area received in the Klamath Basin, snowpack is really not that much better. It's at 4% of normal for this time of year. And one irrigation manager there told me that you might as well call it zero. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation in February, they published their annual operation plan. And they publish one every single year, and it kind of just outlines how water is going to be managed in that basin for that year. And so, you know, that federal agency set aside a little bit more water for agriculture compared to last year. That's going to be pulled from the upper Klamath Lake. But, I mean, that can change depending on conditions as the season goes on. And, I mean, even with that, you know, that said, like the water manager in that irrigation district, he told me that they still don't really have a balanced water budget, again, because they have to follow federal rules that require that district to preserve water for endangered species and habitat. But then, you know, they also have to have water aside for irrigators. And I think right now the plan that he had shared with me is that they're trying to figure out how they're going to basically set aside or leave something like 40,000 acres of fields fallow, just because there's not really enough water to go around.
Did you say 40,000?
Correct. The Klamath... Oh, go ahead.
What types of crops are typically grown in these areas?
Yeah, so, I mean, at least for the Klamath Irrigation District, I was going to say earlier that, I mean, they deliver water to something like, it's over 100,000 acres of farmland down there to, you know, homesteads, ranches, and, you know, that's from those farms to irrigate everything from, you know, onions, garlic, leafy greens, potatoes, radishes, and a lot of hay alfalfa and, you know, pasture for cattle.
Okay, so what about the tribes? How are they dealing with this?
That's a great question. I have not been able to cover this issue as much, so I have not really have a well-educated answer on that.
Well, let's look at the vineyards. I mean, we have wine country here. There's wine country in the Central Valley. How are they going to deal with this?
I think you hear more of the same. The worry, I think, right now is for later in the season when we go dry. And I mean, when you talk about dry conditions, it's not just agriculture, right? It's how cities are going to deal with water. It's whether, you know, it's going to be so dry and if that's going to trigger wildfires. So I know wines or vineyards, they worry a lot about wildfires just because wildfire smoke tends to damage the grapes. So people are kind of thinking about that right now, but it's the same thing for water availability.
Okay. And what about higher prices at the grocery store? Less produce.
Yeah. So I think that's a little bit harder to answer. I'd say, I mean, maybe you see those higher prices. I mean, we already are. But it depends on a lot of other things. So you got to think we live in sort of this food supply chain that's pretty interconnected, right? So you have a lot of food that people buy at the grocery store that comes from other states or other countries, and a lot of the stuff that's produced or grown in Oregon gets exported out, like out of the country. So I mean, I'd say like a lot of the concern right now lies on the producer side, where if you've had a couple of you know, bad years, you've been maybe operating at barely in the black or at a net loss, it just kind of becomes a question of how long you can hold on. You know, I think if you talk to a farmer about how they're doing, you'll probably hear something similar. But I think at the same time, it just varies across the board. But as far as food prices, I mean, that's very dependent on many other things. Gas is one of them, transportation, labor. So there's a lot of other factors that I think go into that.
It's all interconnected, and it starts with water. So other than, you know, maybe we all collectively do a rain dance, other than that, is there any hope on the horizon for improving this situation?
I think the bright spot, I mean, I'm not sure. A lot of farmers, again, if you talk to someone, they'll be like, This is it. Mother Nature kind of sometimes you have good years, sometimes you have bad years. So I think, you know, you're going to hear an answer like that. The bright side right now is that a lot of the reservoirs that these irrigation districts rely on are pretty full. That's mostly because they got carryover. So like water or snow was carried over from last year's winter. And we had a pretty good snowpack last year. But okay. I mean, I don't know. It's the beginning of the season, so I think a lot of people will be hoping we get a mild summer, not super hot.
Okay.
Nothing too crazy.
We're gonna have to leave it there then. We're gonna have to hope for a mild summer. Thank you, Alejandro. Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
My guest was OPB reporter Alejandro Figueroa.